Hey guys, welcome to Hope It Helps. Today's guest is Sami Khoury. Sami is the founder of Mind Resilience Training, a learning and development company that helps teams cultivate leadership and resilience skills. He is a certified health and well-being coach and certified in neuroscience programs from institutions such as Yale University. He is pretty much obsessed with helping people become their best selves and wishes to share this knowledge with the aim of helping others attain inner balance and peace of mind. During this episode, we discuss the differences between a growth and a fixed mindset, how to find your authentic self, the pillars of mind resilience training, and the importance of acceptance. And the last message he wanted to share is to be authentic and to grow within that authenticity. Please join me in welcoming to the show, Mr. Sami Khoury.
Thanks, Khalid, for having me. Looking forward to chatting with you.
Thanks so much for your time, man. I really appreciate it. So, Sami, we connected through LinkedIn, like a lot of my guests. And what interested me about you, and I've been following it for a while, is the work you do around mind resilience training and the stuff you do about mindset. And I know you work with corporates and with individuals. So it's and you also implement neuroscience behind all of that, which I think is very important, especially when we're talking about that kind of stuff. But there's a lot we're going to get into today because this is an area that I am also passionate about, and I have a lot of questions and things from my experience that I'm curious to see what you would say. But anyway, before we get into everything, Sami, why don't you give all of us a little bit of background about yourself and we'll take it from there.
Sure. Thanks, Khalid, for having me on board. My name is Sami, originally Palestinian, grew up in Dubai, spent most of my life here, studied here, worked here. I've worked in corporate, agency, nonprofit, startup, started a couple of businesses, and I've worked mainly in the business development and marketing fields. And like many of us, throughout those years in my career, I struggled with things like anxiety, stress, low confidence, negativity. And I thought to myself, well, this doesn't feel right. It doesn't seem right. It's natural to experience stress and anxiety in life, although it is not natural to be chained by that stress and anxiety or consumed by it.
Yeah.
So I've always been into personal development for as long as I can remember. And just over the last few years, just started diving into some more advanced areas for my own development, areas such as philosophy, mindfulness, neuroscience, psychology, spirituality. And just what I learned about the human mind, what I learned about what it means to live well, I was really able to heal a lot of the inner struggles that I was experiencing. And that's why I decided to share what I've learned with other people in the hopes of helping them. It's knowledge that can really help anyone, whether mentally, spiritually, emotionally. It's all out there. And I think that once you embrace certain self-knowledge and information about how our brains function, you can actually really be whoever you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that's why I launched Mind Resilience Training. And what we do is we do soft skill training for corporates based on neuroscience research. When you understand how your brain works, you can then work with your own brain.
True.
And that would help you break out of your limiting beliefs, build productive habits, and really enhance your overall life. So that's what I'm doing now.
That's awesome, man. Again, like you, personal development in that area is something that I've always been very interested in. While I was living in Amsterdam, I went through this whole, I think people listening to the podcast are probably sick of me saying that by now, but anyway, because I've said it to many guests, but I went through that whole journey and so on. But one thing that I find, or I've been going through recently, and I only recently came to a question, which is, so you talk about growth mindset and fixed mindset. So, because I watched some of your stuff and when I was doing my research, so your definition is fixed is I cannot improve and growth is I can, right? Now, what I've found, like with all the things that we talk about in personal development, they're all true and they all do work, but I feel I almost feel like, because I'm just reflecting on my experience, it's not the reality of the situation in the sense that I believe, given my own experience. So during that time that I was telling you about, I had fully a growth mindset, like going to seminars, whatever. I was improving a lot. I was learning a lot and so on. But then for the last, I'd say, two and a half years, only until very recently, I feel like I lost that mindset. And I almost shifted into a fixed mindset. And I couldn't, and I was telling my wife that I missed the person that I was, because that guy, that I remember that mindset, I remember that feeling, which was like amazing. So the thing about having a growth mindset and a fixed mindset, do you believe that's something that is flexible, that it changes over time? Do the experiences in life, can they tilt you one way, tilt you another way? Or do you believe that once you fully, I guess, maybe ingrained yourself in it, like fully, maybe I was at like 70-80%, maybe if I was at 100, it would have been different. So what are your thoughts? Because in my experience, I feel it's flexible now.
For sure. It is very flexible. And just a couple of things to note. First of all, you can apply a growth mindset to any area of your life. It can be in your personal life, in your professional life, in your relationships, your hobbies, your passions. This is a mindset that you can apply anywhere. That's the first thing I'll say. And the second thing is that we all go through ups and downs. There are always... life is waves. Life is the high tide and the low tide.
Yeah.
And that comes with respect to how much we want to push ourselves, comes with respect to our motivation. So this is also, there's a certain acceptance that comes along with this journey, that to accept that you will fall off the bandwagon, and that's okay. That's part of the human experience.
Yeah.
And that allows you to take the setbacks a lot easier. That allows you to be easy on yourself and to forgive yourself in those moments when you feel that, okay, I'm not giving it 100%.
Sure.
So it's definitely, there's definitely flexibility. It's not always consistent as we want it to be, but as long as we are engaging in that growth mindset, as long as we are going with our natural flow of growth and experience, this is what matters at the end.
That's an interesting thing that you said that maybe I didn't take into consideration, is that that growth mindset is something that can be applied to different areas. So, for example, if I've understood you correctly, I could have a growth mindset, for example, in my personal life, but I could have maybe a fixed mindset at work still.
Yeah.
So it's not, I guess maybe my perspective has always been, it was very binary. You either are or you're not, it's either your growth mindset in everything and fixed in everything too. So I didn't, that's something that I maybe haven't considered before.
Yeah. It's, again, you know, whatever experiences you have, you can learn from any experience.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn from any experience. You can learn how to grow from it. You can find the opportunities in the surprises of life. You can see how the challenges and obstacles actually give you strength.
Yeah.
And I think this is an important mindset, that resistance builds resilience. Resistance builds strength.
Sure.
And the best metaphor I can think of is when you go to the gym and you build muscle. You are essentially pushing yourself against a weight, and that weight is pushing against your body.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, your body is getting stronger.
Yeah.
Whether it's the gym, whether it's yoga, whether you're swimming or running, when you go against certain forces, your body and your mind become stronger. And I think when you adopt that perspective, you're able to handle a lot of life setbacks and surprises.
Yeah, that's true. I will say that when you, depending on your situation, if you have applied or developed a certain mindset, that you can, the lows that do come and will come aren't, maybe won't affect you as bad, or maybe for as long either. I think that time is a very important thing too. But coming back to that gym example, you know, that resistance, building that, shall we call it, resilience. But now, one thing you said that was interesting to me, because it was a different take on resilience. You know, in my mind, resilience is, and we'll have an example for you. Like, when I think of resilience, I think of like, because I was just watching, you know, the UFC promotion for the next fight. So I'm like, and like what they go through, and like the injuries, and like that mindset, and like the mindset of a fighter, like that I think a lot of us think that is what resilience is, you know, like the grit and, you know, push through the pain and go. But you describe it as finding your inner balance and finding your true self. So walk us through your perspective on resilience and why is inner balance your definition?
Absolutely. So when I said earlier that resistance is resilience, I guess it's a form of resilience.
Sure.
When we talk about resilience, like you said, a lot of us think that, I have to have a stiff upper lip and I have to just put up with it. I need to whip myself into discipline. But actually, this is not the sort of resilience that I believe in and that I don't think is sustainable or works over the long run. To me, resilience is acceptance. And it's a type of acceptance that goes two ways. It's an acceptance that goes outwards towards the external world. And there is an acceptance that goes inwards towards who we are. Essentially, it is about accepting ourselves for who we are, accepting our strengths, accepting our powers, accepting our flaws. Once you're able to accept yourself as you are with all your imperfections, you become untouchable. Nobody can touch you.
Yeah.
Because you see yourself, you accept your vulnerabilities, and you are aligned with your true nature. Mm. Once you're aligned with yourself, you can overcome a lot of the ups and downs of life because you know who you are.
Yeah.
You are aligned with your values. Mm. You believe in what you believe. You believe in your values.
Yeah.
Then there is also the outwards acceptance, and that is accepting events as they happen. And when I talk about acceptance, it's not as in, okay, I just accept it. I'm not going to do anything about it. It is seeing things as they are, not as they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Not complaining that, oh, this individual should be that way. This event should have happened to me in this way. It is saying that this is who this person is. This event is as it happened.
Yeah.
When you have that acceptance, when you see these things in all their complexity and simplicity, then you are able to better act. You have less of a foggy mind. Mm-hmm. You are less likely to be consumed by your emotions, wishing that things turned out in another way. You simply accept the situation as is, and that gives you the clarity and focus to act after that.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, as humans, we have to make decisions. We have to act for our own well-being and the well-being of other people.
That's very, very true. It sounds like what you're talking about is, for maybe the external, is taking things as they are, and it sounds like it's being objective to it. You know, this is the situation at, okay, this again, this is a lot easier said than done because we're humans and we have emotions, so to be completely objective is not possible, but that does help, I guess, at least keep you grounded, you know, maybe keep you not from overthinking it maybe or doubting yourself too much or whatever the case might be when you're making that decision. You talked about something you said that you mentioned vulnerability just now, and it was very interesting. And you talked about how having this mindset and accepting who you are, you said that there's times there where I can be myself and there's times where I can't.
Yeah.
So that was interesting to me because, again, coming back to what I was talking about earlier, when we talk about all these things, person development, vulnerability, whatever, I feel the message isn't clear and it's too good. You know, it doesn't take into account like the harshness of like being vulnerable, you know.
Mm.
Vulnerability is a great power, whatever, and I do believe that. But when you tell, so my perspective when I hear that, if I'm someone who's not thinking about that, I'm like, oh, so I have to be vulnerable and full in every situation with every single person. Mm. But based on what you're saying, which I agree with, that there's times that no, I can't be myself, or I shouldn't be this vulnerable, and that's a meter. So where does vulnerability play into, you know, when it comes to mindset? Is it a important component of mindset, or is that something you feel is separate?
When it comes to vulnerability in particular, I think there is a time and place for it. And the reason that we need to embrace our own vulnerability is for our own mental well-being. We cannot continuously put up a front. We cannot continuously wear the masks and play the roles that we need to play in modern life, in modern society. So being vulnerable, whether it's to yourself, it's to your loved ones, family and friends, that provides a certain release that gives you that mental and emotional well-being. Mm-hmm. So I think there is a time and place for it. For everybody, it's different, depending on the situation, depending on the context. To go back to why you cannot be yourself in every single situation is because we have to accept that we live and work and interact with other human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And human beings have certain qualities that we cannot escape. Human beings have levels of self-absorption, levels of envy, levels of aggression. This is how human nature was built.
Yeah.
And so if you go into a situation and you're going to be like, you know what, I'm going to be 100% myself, you might offend the other person who is only offended because of their own ego. It's nothing that you said or did in particular. It's nothing that you take personally.
Yeah.
So if you're not careful and you offend someone, inadvertently offend them, you may be on the wrong side of the of whatever interaction. You know, things might not go out things might not happen as you planned. So it's important to really distinguish in what situations and what times can you be yourself and others you can't, because simply that's not how human nature works.
True. That's a very good point that you mentioned, that we do live in the world, so we are interacting with other humans who have different beliefs and everything. They're a completely different, and also depending on the context of, you're meeting a friend, are you meeting a stranger, are you at work, is there stress, is all that stress that comes with that.
So, and of course, by no means am I criticizing human nature. I'm simply saying that this is something that we have to accept.
Yeah.
And again, once you accept things as they are, you are better able to make a decision. You're better able to act with clarity and focus.
Yeah. Okay, let's dive into accept, that word, accept, a little bit, okay? Because like we hear all the time, and I internalize and I understand it and I get it. I understand what you're talking about. But let's say there's someone out there right now, and they're like, and we're telling them, you know, acceptance is important and you need to like accept the situation and so on. So explain to them, when you say accept, what that word, what are we like trying to convey to them to do?
We are trying to convey that there are some things and some people that simply don't change, and that, or at least, sorry, not don't change, but at least the change is not in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of frustration comes from our desire to control situations and people that we cannot control or that we cannot change. So the acceptance, the message is to simply, well, accept things as they are.
Yeah.
When you accept things as they are, when you accept people as they are, that helps your own well-being, that helps your own inner balance and peace of mind. And you'd be very much surprised. I mean, when you look back and you think about all those times you decided to let go of something or stop chasing it, and for some reason, it just fell into your lap.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting that you said that. Sometimes, and you hear that a lot when it comes to like maybe relationships or, you know, how people met, like, oh, I wasn't even looking. And then like, here I am, like you're married now. You know what I mean? So it's funny. It is funny how sometimes you do need to almost do nothing and take a little bit of a step back, I guess, to create that space for some new potential to come into.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's something that I can't figure out, but I've seen that when you just let go, things happen for you.
Yeah.
At times. So you'd be surprised that there's a lot of power and a lot of peace that comes with letting go of things that are out of your control.
That's true. And letting go, again, just to repeat, and you said it earlier, when we say that, that's why, that's the problem, my issue with this is I don't like absolutes, you know, and that's what, either if it's negative, it's absolute, and positive, it's absolute. Yeah. And I used to, for a very long time, you know, I wanted either, I wanted the world to be binary. You know, that was my dream, you know. Yeah, either I like or I don't like. It's not like, you know.
The world's full of gray. No black and white.
If anything, it's only gray. If you're lucky, you might find some black and white patches every once in a while. And coming on to something you mentioned earlier, which is very interesting, which is the accepting the situation as it is and not as you would have wanted or as it should.
Yeah.
And we're going to bring that back to, you know, ourselves as people. We all have, like, Khaled as I am sitting here, Sami is sitting here, and we're all like, we have a certain perception of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
There's who we are now and who we idol, the actual self, and who we idolize, you know, the idolized self, as I think that's how you described it.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like what you said, that the bigger the gap, the bigger the turmoil. And you find that in conversations you have with people and stuff, when you're doing something, maybe you're in a job, you're in a relationship that is going against that internal voice that's telling you, maybe, you know, you should leave, maybe you should change.
Mm.
It does create that. That's what leads to anxiety, depression, you know, stress. Yeah. So I understand what we're talking about, being comfortable with who we are, accepting who we are now. But I also think, you know, that idealized self, I don't think that ever goes away. I don't think you're ever going to be 100%, you know, you're never going to not be thinking about, like, what's Khaled 2.0 look like? What's Sami 2.0? What does he do? Yeah. What does he speak? There is always that future self that we will work towards and aspire to be. So I believe that the gap never goes away. But maybe through these things, what you're saying is they can be minimized. What would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. So I believe that you have your authentic self, and you have your idealized self.
Mm-hmm.
Your authentic self is who you are to your core. It's who you are based on your values, what moves you, what drives you, what gives you that flow. In essence, you are living according to your authentic self. The idealized self is something that is beyond that, something that is, you define it based on whatever life experiences that you've had. You define it based on what you think will make you happy and successful. Now, absolutely, like you're saying, as human beings, we all grow, we all evolve. For me, I believe that it's about growing and evolving in alignment with who you really are. So you can still be your authentic self and you can still grow as your authentic self. You grow as your authentic self by diving into the areas of your work or life that actually speak to you, that you actually connect with naturally. Once you understand what it is that excites you, once you understand what it is that gives you your flow, these areas, these topics, these subjects, whatever they are, these passions, then you are able to grow within these areas. And you're still being true to who you are.
Yeah.
Essentially, you're the same eagle, but with bigger wings. You're essentially the same eagle, but with bigger wings.
That's an interesting way to look at it. I do like that, though. And to build on what you're saying, so last night something popped up on LinkedIn, and is that by that guy, Stephen Bartlett. I don't know if you're familiar with him. Anyway, he has a podcast called Diary of CEO. It's a great check.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So he had a short clip, like, why finding your passion is a lie. And I'm like, okay, interesting, because that's not usually what you hear.
Yeah.
And he talked about how that sentence means that I have to go, like, it's something I need to find. I need to search for it. And his perspective was, it's been there all along.
Mm.
You just haven't, like, tapped into it yet or understood it yet or come to terms with that. So coming to the authentic self and you know how we say, you know, you need to find yourself. So when I heard that, and he says, okay, it's there all along, which I do agree with, and it's not something that you have to search for.
Yeah.
It kind of flips that perspective on its head a little bit.
Mm.
Because I had a question that is, okay, how do we find ourselves? Like, how do you find yourself? How do I know that I'm being my authentic self?
Mm.
But if it's not something I need to search for, how do I figure that out?
Absolutely. And I agree with that. And I only speak from my own experience, which is you reconnect to that inner child within you. You reconnect to that child within you who was excited for life for no reason, who would get involved in different activities and hobbies without being pushed on by their parents or even their friends. What was it that stimulated you naturally? What was it that called to you when you were young? That would give you some clues, I believe. And also the kind of personality that you had, because as we grow older, our personality becomes clouded by all the instructions that we get from our parents, our teachers, our colleagues, our boss, Netflix, and that just covers up who you really are. So it's about removing those layers, removing the fog from your it's about removing the fog from your mind and your brain and your heart and soul, and just turning inwards. That is where you find it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And then once you find it, it is about then, again, ideally, it is about how do you align your authentic self with the demands of the world, with demands of society, with the demands of the workplace. The more that you can align that those two things together, the less turmoil you'll experience.
That's true. That you would experience less turmoil, but let's come back to what you said. So let's say aligning your authentic self with the world, with the world around you. What if your authentic self, let's say now we're here sitting in Dubai, what if my authentic self and my doesn't align with being here, with the culture here, with the people here? What's my solution then? Is it to leave and find a different environment where I can align that maybe might align more with my values and my authentic self? Or let's say, to make it more challenging, let's say, okay, I'm here and I'm struggling to align those two. What do I do then?
Well, the first thing you have to ask yourself is what's within your control. And the things that are within your control, generally speaking, are your behaviors, the way you think about yourself, the way that you think about others, the way you think about your situation, your words, and the decisions that you make. So these things are always within your control. So either you can pack up and leave, you can do that if you wanted to, or you can change your attitude, you can change the way that you perceive the situation that you're in, and you can take decisions that you feel would better allow you to be more authentic. Again, I'm speaking very, very general.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But it's about how do you adapt? How do you adapt mentally? How do you adapt spiritually with what you are experiencing?
Yeah. So, okay, on that. So adaptability, seems to be a very important part. Now, in the work that you do, I know you work with organizations and individuals and so on. I guess what I'm curious about is two things. Number one, what is the biggest or what is typically the most common feedback that goes like that challenges the things that you're talking about? And what is the feedback that has been more on the positive side? If you understand, in some cases, are there people who like resist what you're talking about and others that they're a lot more accepting? Like, what's the typical feedback that you, or the most common types of feedback that you get from the work that you do?
So the common type of feedback that I get is that, so people say, yes, I get this, I understand this, but I have trouble applying it.
Yeah.
I have trouble applying this mindset. I have trouble creating these new habits. I have trouble implementing these decisions. So for me, something that I believe is very helpful is, first of all, to have the intention to change. That's an important one.
Yeah.
Because you can talk a lot about what you want to do and who you want to be and the kind of life that you want to live, but if you don't have the intention to actually change, you're not going to get anywhere. So the first thing is intention. And to me, the second thing is knowledge about the human brain. I mean, the human brain is a fascinating thing. It's one of the most mysterious things in the universe. And from what we know about how the human brain functions is that even your thoughts and emotions have an existence in your brain. They exist through neural connections. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts and emotions are not fairy dust. They actually exist. And the more you exercise certain thoughts and certain emotions, certain ways of thinking, certain ways of being, these essentially mental muscles become quite strong.
Mm-hmm.
And once you strengthen these mental muscles, which are the way you think and the way you act, it becomes easier to be the person that you want to be, and it becomes easier to live the life that you want to live by exercising these mental muscles.
Yeah, when I think calling them mental muscles is a very relatable thing that a lot of people can understand, because, like, you know, I need to go to the gym, I need to work out to build muscles. Just like with this, I think obviously the application of that is a lot simpler than, you know, when it comes to your mind, because it's a lot more challenging, and there's a lot more things you have to go through. And, you know, the things you're talking about, like with the neuroplasticity of the mind, and, you know, the more you do it, the more that amplifies and time. And one thing that I heard once that I loved, but now I'm not giving it second thoughts, but, you know, a question, I have a new perspective on it. So one thing when it comes to, you know, we're talking about beliefs and, like, perspective, you know, I don't know who said this or where, but someone said that once the mind, like, expands, once you have a new perspective and you break that, it can never go back. But and that's a beautiful thing, because once you break that, it opens up a whole new world. But what I've also realized in my own life is, okay, I broke through this belief. There's always going to be a belief, you know. This, okay, you got rid of this one. Okay, now there's a new one that you have to work on, you know. So it feels like in my perspective, it's a never ending cycle. You just have to consistently throughout your life, because obviously as you get older and new experiences, things happen to you, the world changes, you will develop new beliefs about maybe yourself, about the world. So it feels like an endless cycle. What's your perspective on that?
I agree. I totally agree. It is a never ending journey. You are constantly removing layers of fixed belief systems within you. And it, like you said, once you remove that belief system, another belief system might come in its same place, and before you know it, you're attached to that belief system, and then you become very you start to struggle, be like, oh no, but this is how I'm supposed to live, or this is how people are supposed to be, or this is how I'm supposed to treat myself, when actually there's nothing you know written in the stars of how you should live your life. So it's important to have that flexibility, it's important to have that adaptability to the way that you see the world, the way you see yourself. We're always learning, we're always growing. It's just the way the world is. You're constantly growing. So you learn, you take what is essential, you understand how it can help you, and then if it no longer serves you, again, in the realm of personal growth, then you move on.
Yeah, exactly. And it's you mentioned it earlier a little bit, like kind of like peeling back the layers of like an onion. And I was watching I think David Goggins on Joe Rogan's podcast the other day, and he calls it the infinite onion. I'm like, oh my God, that is the best way.
Infinite onion, absolutely.
That's the best way to describe it, because
A lot of crying, a lot of tears.
But I always say, you know, behind the tears is always something, is a good, whether it's a personal thing or whether it's, you know, an outward thing, it's always a good thing.
There's something that Khalil Gibran wrote. I'm butchering what he said, but I found it very beautiful. Pain is the breaking of your own understanding, something along those lines. You don't have to put that in the podcast if I butchered it that badly.
But
basically what Khalil Gibran said is that the more that you learn about the world and you feel pain because of what you're learning, essentially it is destroying what you thought you always knew.
One thing you reminded me, because on your site there are some like quotes, even I wrote them down. I'm like, oh, this is excellent. Like this one by just to make sure I get it right. The mind is a wonderful servant but a terrible master. And I'm like, man, that is so true. And I think with all the work you're doing, is when I apply it to that, is you're trying to help people become the masters and not let them be run by their own, you know, mind. Because if that happens, and it will happen, no matter how, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether this, like we talked about earlier, there are ebbs and flows. It's just going to happen. But I think a lot of times we don't, and the biggest struggle what I've seen is it takes you sometimes a while to realize it. You know, like that glass shattering sometimes takes like a while. You might be aware of it, might have been creeping around in your head for a couple of years, but then something just happens and you're like, oh my God, like how, like I knew, I like, and people always say like, I knew it, like I felt it, but I just didn't do anything about it. Even with all like being aware and the knowledge,
yeah.
Sometimes it still does take a while for that penny to, you know, to drop.
Yeah, absolutely. It is about mastering your mindset. You either master your mindset or your mind masters you. And there are many ways to master yourself. The key thing is acceptance. We talked about acceptance. Also, daily practices of gratitude, compassion, understanding that everyone wants the same thing, mindfulness and meditation practices, that really helps. I mean, there's just plenty of science out there about how meditation can help your focus, your memory, your emotional regulation, and that stops your mind from flying all over the place in your day-to-day.
Yeah.
So I think whoever you are, you should adopt some sort of breathing technique. There's a lot of breathing exercises out there, a lot of meditation exercises that help. Choose one that works for you. I know a lot of people that they pick it up and then they drop it because it doesn't work out. Mm. Find a breathing technique or meditation technique that works for you.
Yeah.
And you don't have to start with 1 hour or not even 30 minutes. You can even start with something as 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And eventually grow from there.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you expect to transform yourself if you won't even sit still for 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to talk about it, actually. Yeah.
And what you learn through meditation, through these meditative practices, through yoga practice, there's a certain essence of being, which is an essence of balance and calmness. That is a channel to bring it to your waking life.
Yeah.
So you are meditative in your waking life. You are mindful in your waking life.
Yeah.
And that helps with the mastery of your own mind.
100%. I remember, so again, my meditation practice, I've been, you know, there's times I've been like going 3 months straight, didn't miss a day. And then now it's been like, I don't know, a year and a half. And like I started recently and like on, off, but getting there.
Yeah.
But meditation, I think, is something for me that is, I can physically feel a difference on the days that I meditate and I live my day, and the days that I don't. I'm a lot more calm. Things don't bother me as much. I feel like, when I meditate, I feel like imagine in your head is just like, you know, when you have like a bunch of like cables, you know, like, and the whole bunch top and
whatever.
That's what it feels like when I haven't done it for a while.
Yeah.
And then meditation is kind of going like, all right, we got to sort out this mess, like one at a time. That's how it feels to me. I don't know. Yeah. What does it feel like to you? Is it similar?
I mean, for me, I definitely feel that when I meditate, my thoughts are, my brain is a lot more calm. My brain is not ecstatic. My brain is more in flow with whatever's happening and can accept what's happening in the situation. It doesn't get caught up. It doesn't get lost in emotions. That's what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot more at peace. I'm more observant. I'm more understanding. I don't know how it works. It just works.
that's a very good point. And what you said, I think, is something important. And I've talked about this before. Is find whatever works for you.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of apps. Even the time doesn't. The length isn't like. Everyone might have their different opinion, but you know, if you find like 10 minutes is all you can do and you're comfortable with that, then just do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which is fine. But coming back to what you were talking about earlier, because I know reading through the website, like ancient philosophy and like the Stoics and all that, that you're interested in. And I don't think I ever really discussed philosophy on the podcast before, but one thing I was thinking of, like every time you read like all these, like this Marcus Aurelius quote, you know, the soul becomes dyed with the color of the thoughts. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Do you ever think like, how did all these guys back then say so much shit that now today you read, you're like, oh, of course. How the hell did they know it back then?
I'll give you my opinion on that.
Yeah.
Because back then, that was what, 2,000 years ago, 2,300 years ago, they were living in a really rough time. It was war, plague, famine, death, that was just happening left and right.
Yeah.
So they were exposed to a lot of hardship, a lot of death, a lot of suffering that thankfully we are not as exposed to in the modern world.
Sure.
So I believe that from what I read and what I learned is that they saw this and they asked themselves, well, how do we live in peace in a world that is essentially unpeaceful? How do we live free of suffering in a world that is full of suffering? Mm-hmm. I think that was the main question that was asked. And this is an area of philosophy mainly that is known as ethical philosophy or moral philosophy, which is, how do I live a good life? How do I live well? How do I live with the balance in the midst of all this craziness that's happening around me? Yeah. So that's the branch of philosophy, or this question at least is a part of this branch of philosophy that seeks to answer, how do I live well? So that I believe is a starting point.
I don't have an answer. Yeah. I've never discussed this before either.
Yeah.
But I think it's an interesting point that you said that obviously the world then was a lot harsher than maybe it is now.
Mm.
I also think, you know, my perspective is also like, there must have been a billion times less distractions. You know what I mean? It's not,
yeah, totally.
It's not just like, even before like social media was around, like you were still super distracted, like PlayStation, you know, this, that. And once the internet came, you know, everything changed. But back then you're like, okay, yeah, I have like, I have a hut, I have a horse, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
and like,
for sure.
My day is, I'm going to have like one meal and the rest of the time I'm just going to think.
Yeah, you're just going to think about stuff. Yeah, absolutely. I think definitely that's less distraction, more focus on one task at hand.
Yeah.
And like, no matter who you were, you had a certain role, a certain duty.
And yes.
Because of the way the world was back then for so many centuries, it's like, this is your specialization. This is what you're good at. So that's all you're doing.
Yeah.
And as we very well know, the more you do the same thing over and over again, the better you get at doing it, the quicker you get at doing it. Your mind opens up to new possibilities because you're so in this one area.
Mm.
And I think so. The distraction, that's another conversation on its own. I mean,
yeah. How much do you think, especially maybe nowadays, it would be interesting to discuss, because there's so many, you know, I spend a significant amount of time on TikTok, I'm not going to lie. Mm. It's just unbelievable. It's endlessly entertaining, you know, so I'm like, that's good. Keep it going. Do you think now, because of the amount of distractions there are, and because it really is so fast paced now, everything changes, you know, things like ChatGPT now is a thing, like this AI that you can do. Do you think that is it more challenging now when we're bringing it into the mindset conversation? Mm-hmm. Or on the flip side, because there's so many different things distracted by and you're thinking about so many different mm-hmm. things, does that open you up to more?
I actually, when you are distracted by so many things, you have breadth, but it lacks depth.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah,
meaning that you see so many different topics, so much different content, so many different distractions, mm-hmm. and you might have like bits and pieces, like, you know, bite-size information, but you will never, or you will rarely go deep into one area unless you get rid of the distractions and simply focus on the one topic that you want to focus on. And it's pretty much, there's a lot of science out there that says that when you are distracted, when you shift your focus from one task to another task, and then you shift back to that task, first of all, it takes a lot of brain energy from you to shift your focus. We don't feel it, but it does. Second, once you go back to the task at hand, you have to recalibrate your mind
to adjust to it,
mm-hmm. which also takes even more brain energy from you.
Yeah.
So the distractions consume a lot of your energy. And I think we are underestimating that. Because at the end of the day, obviously you need energy, and you need energy to manage yourself, and you need energy to manage your mind.
Yeah.
And for me, in this modern world, this modern life, I believe that prevention is better than the cure. That you have to put certain routines in place, certain environmental considerations in place to avoid getting lost in the infinite distractions.
Yeah.
The distractions are infinite.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to get rid of these distractions for you.
Yeah. First of all, I was not familiar with the energy when it comes to your brain that you were talking about. I wasn't aware of that. And yeah, when you said like, when I was like, now I'm thinking about it, like if I'm doing one thing and then like I have to go back and do something I was doing before or something different, you do feel like maybe a drop in motivation level or, you know, you'll still do it, whatever, but you're not killing it maybe that, than if you weren't. But do you think that with, you were talking about, okay. So when we talk about focus, right, and things over time develop mastery, right? You know, become a master at that, whether it's your emotions, your thoughts, anything you're doing. Now, one thing that, that's why I was, when we're talking about distractions, I'm going to bring it in a different way. I'm talking about, you know how we say, I'm Khaled, I'm a podcaster. I'm Sami, I'm a mind, like a mind, health and well-being and mindset coach. And I've read so many things and watched so many things that you, like nowadays you want, like you don't want to just, because it becomes kind of part of your identity. I am this, and that means it, you might think, oh, I can't be, you know, anything else. I can't be this and like surf. I can't be this and that. So that's where I feel, although distraction does lack focus, it does open you up maybe to other areas that you can now develop.
See, I would have to challenge that notion, because when we talk about distraction, distraction means the inability to focus on one thing. Now, this can be at a micro level or it can be at a macro level.
Okay.
Micro level meaning I'm reading a book, I get a distraction, my phone rings, I'm distracted.
Yeah.
A macro level, I would say, is something that is long-term. It is the, like you say, okay, I'm going to stay being a trainer, or I'm gonna stay being a podcaster. Looking at other areas to improve yourself or to add to your creativity or your energy or your expression is not necessarily a distraction if it serves you.
Okay.
So let's say... Okay. It can even be something totally, totally out there. Like, let's say you're a podcaster and you like to paint on the side. That is not necessarily a distraction. That is simply another part of your being. You know, it is very difficult through labels to tie us down into one dimension. We are multidimensional beings. We don't have one dimension. So a part of you is a podcaster. Another part of you is an artist. And you being an artist in whatever type of art you're doing, I'm sure serves you. Maybe it is very therapeutic for you. It helps you switch off. It helps you explore different worlds. And then before you know it, maybe you're bringing your art into your podcast.
True.
So that's why I say I wouldn't call these...
You wouldn't call it a distraction.
A distraction on a macro level.
Okay.
It's not a distraction. It's simply another part of your being that you are nourishing. It's a part of... It's one of your dimensions that you are cultivating.
Yeah.
We're all multidimensional individuals. You know, there's always this phrase or metaphor, which I don't like, which is, oh, there's a the black wolf inside of you and there's a white wolf inside of you and whichever wolf you feed will grow. That's...
Oh, I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit too binary for me. I think there isn't just black and white within us.
It's like a rainbow.
It's exactly. It's a rainbow. It's a spectrum. It's a... spectrum of colors. And it's important for us to integrate all these different dimensions within us in order to become a whole fulfilled human being.
100%.
And that is also, of course, a journey.
It's, man, you know, that word, we've said it, I've said it a thousand times, I've heard it a thousand times, and I will continue to, because there isn't another word I think that describes that experience or that timeline in that way. But coming back to something you said earlier about routines, so I am a person, there's routine is something I'm not a big fan of, okay? It's a personal thing. I just don't like when I have, for me, routine removes motivation. I like more, I'm much more of an ad hoc person, you know, like, oh, this is happening now, okay, I'll do this, I'll do that, whatever. Is that good or bad? I don't know. Probably not the best, but anyway. But one thing I was I heard recently, and it was so counterintuitive, that discipline brings freedom. Mm-hmm. And yep. That seems like when I hear that, I'm like, I get it, but it seems so counterintuitive, because, you know, discipline, your perspective on discipline is like rigid and strict, but you're saying by doing mm-hmm. this in certain things,
yeah,
gives me the freedom that I am looking for anyway. Yeah. So what are your thoughts around
that? Wow. So discipline is freedom. That there are many elements to that. There are many angles of consideration for that, in my opinion. There's the discipline of, first of all, there are things in life that you want to do, and there are things in life that you have to do.
Yes, yes.
So let's say that you are starting your own business. No matter who you are, if you're starting your own business, you have to be a salesperson. You have to sell.
Yeah.
And there are many people that don't like to sell. That's not who they are, whatever. But if you want to be a founder, you have to sell.
Yes.
You don't have a choice about it.
Yeah.
Unless you're a CTO or something. Mm. So that's one element of discipline, is freedom. That, okay, I'm going to be disciplined in my approach to promoting my business, to selling myself, to selling my value. Through that discipline, eventually, ideally, I will have financial freedom.
Yes.
Because I've created a disciplined process. I have created that commitment.
Yeah.
So I think that's one element of discipline, is freedom. Another element of discipline is freedom is there is also the mindset which is involved. Because if you are not disciplined, I know disciplined it may be a harsh word.
I know, yeah.
But really, if you think about it, all those people that you look up to, all your heroes in life who you deem are successful,
yeah,
they are successful because they were disciplined in whatever endeavor they were involved in.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
So discipline is not as much of a dirty word as you think it is, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I can see why it can be dirty, but it's not that bad.
Yeah.
So there's also the discipline of the mind, in my opinion, which is, as we talked about, avoiding distractions, avoiding being consumed by your overthinking, or avoiding getting lost in your emotions.
Or people.
Not saying don't have emotions. That's impossible. We're human. We have emotions. It's just simply about not being enslaved by these emotions that damage our mental well-being, which of course will spill into other areas of our life, our relationships, our quality of our work. So there is also a disciplined mindset.
Yeah.
So you talk about a disciplined routine and disciplined mindset that can give you certain types of freedom.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I like how you came at it from those different angles. And like you said, it maybe is not as much of a dirty word or a negative word as it sometimes is perceived, you know, because discipline, you remember, like, just school, sit down, shut up, you know, at least for me, that's what I think about.
Oh, yeah, so, for sure. You know, tell me about it. Yeah, yeah. I was in Shui Fat, so I know all about this.
Also in
Shui Fat. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So you remember that shit.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
How can I forget?
How can you forget, man? Anyway, but coming back to the, I wanted to round off for the discussion today, one thing that I wanted to talk to you about is, you just brought it up, emotions, okay? So I saw your talk when you were talking about the reptilian brain, the emotional brain, and the logical,
the rational
brain, right? So one thing that I've noticed that a lot of people do, and I didn't know even I was doing that until I went to therapy. So I was struggling for many years. I had in my mind, like, I need to go to therapy. There was this voice, like, you should go to therapy. But I just never did until, you know, the final straw was like, all right, I'm done. So, but what I realized going to therapy is, because I would read, you know, I'd think, I'm very logical.
I like to think.
So logically, I'm like, I've looked at all the areas, you know, I've ticked all the boxes, but I still feel this way. Like, I'm aware of the other perspective, you know, I feel this, but I already see the other side. I already know the other side, but I still don't feel that, even though I'm aware of it. And one thing I learned was a lot of times what we try to do, and this is what I learned from my therapist told me, he's like, Khaled, you're trying to tackle emotion with logic. And it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why when we were talking about the brains, and I think you're using it in the sales context, you have to tackle those three different brains in those specific ways in order to solve those kind of issues.
Mm.
Like emotion has to be fought with emotion. Logic has to be fought with logic. They don't go into each other. And usually, in my experience, has been more logic versus emotion, that I feel a certain way about something, but I can think differently about it.
Yeah, so logic can only take you so far and will not always solve your problems, at least will not always solve your inner struggles, because at the end of the day, we are biological machines.
Mm-hmm.
And as biological machines, we need emotion to signal to us what is going to help us survive and what might threaten us.
Mm-hmm.
Emotions, to a large extent, are simply value judgments. What's going to help me? What's going to hurt me? That is because when I have these emotions, when I have that programming inside of me, that helps me survive and thrive. So even though you are able to convince yourself of a situation logically that is very safe for you and has high chances of success, there will always be that emotion of fear, uncertainty, doubt. It's just your brain's way of telling you that, you know, don't forget that things might go wrong and you also need to be prepared for that. And again, that's always going to be there. So at the end of the day, it's about how do you regulate that emotion? You don't stamp it out. You accept that that emotion is there. And also you accept the limits of that emotion, that to allow that emotion to overflow like a broken dam is not going to serve you.
Yeah.
And actually might even hurt what it is that you're trying to do or trying to achieve.
Yeah.
So recognize your emotions, but also recognize that there are limitations to the power or the rule of these emotions. And if you're being consumed by your emotions, maybe there needs to be a little bit more rationality involved.
Mm.
At the end of the day, we have a heart and a mind, and it's about balancing the two.
Yeah.
You cannot be overly consumed by your logic and rationality, otherwise you might end up just being a cold machine.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you cannot be consumed by your emotions, otherwise you'll be pulled like a puppet on strings.
Yeah.
So it's really about how do you balance the two.
Yeah. And I really like the word you use there, regulate. And also recognizing that whether it's logic, whether it's emotion, that there are limits to each, and managing when to, you know, put the brakes on or when to, you know, go further, and not being, I guess, run by, over consumed, you know, by the two. And I think a word that has been the word of the day, I'd say, would be balance.
For sure.
Finding inner balance. And I always talk, and I always think, I'm like, the funny thing about balance is you never really have it, because once you get to one level, you've probably lost it in another. So, but I think that kind of summarized everything we talked about, that the journey to find balance, shall we say, it never stops.
It never stops. And that's what it means to be human. We're always growing. We're always evolving. We're always changing. That's a part of life. It's life is growth.
Life is growth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't say better myself, man. Sam, I just have two more questions.
Sure, yeah, for
these,
sure.
These are questions that I ask all my guests.
Absolutely.
So first of all, looking back either personally or professionally, if I ask you the question, what are you most proud of for yourself, what would you say?
What I'm most proud of is that in my career, I've made the decisions to go at it on my own.
Mm.
And no matter what's happened or what happens, I'll look back and say, I'm glad that I made the decision that I wanted to make, which was to be my own man.
Yeah. And find, you know, you seem like the kind of person that, you know, once you laser focus on something, you know, that's, you're just going to go for it irrespective.
Yeah, I try, but I also fall off the bandwagon, but that's also part of the journey, and even accepting that you'll fall off the bandwagon and just forgiving yourself and getting back on.
Yeah, and I think one thing that we don't do enough as people have, you've heard this a million times, you've said it a million times, and I will say it again, is trying to be compassionate, you know, to ourselves more than anything. I know I'm very hard on myself. I think we all are, but, you know, again, trying to find the balance with that.
Yeah, exactly.
And for my last question, Sami, what is the message you'd like everyone to take home with them today?
The message that I'd like them to take home is to be authentic and grow within that authenticity. Because when you grow within that authenticity, you start surfing through life.
I think I can't say better than that, guys. I really love that. It's very humbling, and I think everyone's on that journey to find themselves anyway. So if you can do that and live it that way, I think you're in a pretty good spot. Sami, man, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
You know, I love talking about this stuff, and it's been a while that I've like dove deep into it.
Yeah, we could talk about this stuff forever.
I'm sure we could. If people want to reach out to you, work with you, connect with you, where can they get in touch?
MindResilienceTraining.com and on Instagram at mind.resilience.training.
Perfect. You heard it here, guys. Check out Sami's website, his work. You can check him out on LinkedIn, too. He has some great content there. As always, thank you to everyone for listening. I really appreciate it. Make sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe to the podcast at hope.it.helps with two S's on Instagram and on all channels. And as always, guys, hope it helps. Peace.